Welcome back to another edition of the Star Tribune's Talkin' Preps. I'm Jim Paulson, joined with my colleague David Levesque, who's actually calling in from home. We'll be talking about recapping the boys' hockey tournament. A lot to talk about there. Looking forward to the girls' basketball tournament and, you know, talking a little bit about the girls' All-Metro team that was recently came out. Running the board today for us in replacement of Paul Clauda is Minnesota sports connoisseur and savant Michael Rand, who's graciously agreed to help us out here. And
going back to my roots, former high school sports editor for about 5 years. Had the pleasure of working with both these guys for quite a while. Still obviously work with them at the Star Tribune, but always happy to help with preps. Still one of my favorite things.
Just when you thought you were out, they pull you back in.
That's right. It's not quite like the mafia, but it's close. The preps mafia.
I just used that line. Because I was basketball coach for my daughter's team in the winter. Today is turn-in day for equipment for basketball, and this morning I was asked if I would do soccer in the spring, and that's exactly the line I put on Facebook. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Yeah, that's what happens. Then you get into it, and then they look at you and say, hey, here's a sucker who's willing to do it.
Exactly.
I thought it meant I was an up-and-coming hot coaching prospect in the Woodbury Athletic Association.
No,
it
means we got another one.
Maybe it's that, yeah. Maybe it's the sucker part.
I tell you what, I did it for so many years, and at the time you look at, oh my gosh, how am I going to find time to do it? But when it's all over, you really miss it. And you think, man, I miss those days when I used to have all those kids around. We're failing as a coach. I always wonder how bad I scarred them for life. But so, David, hockey tournament. We just got done with it. It captivated Minnesota. Tell me what you remember, your thoughts on what you saw.
On the ice, I think we had the Friday semifinal situation that everybody wanted, with, you know, the possible exception being that maybe folks would have liked to have seen St. Thomas Academy in place of Centennial. But when you have Centennial beating them, you know, as they did coming back to do it, Centennial clearly earned their spot. And they have some broader appeal with Lucas McGregor as a Mr. Hockey candidate and those things. So I think it ended up being a good Final Four. The games were competitive Friday. It led to a really strong championship game with all the elements that you'd want, the Metro team, the Northern team, and those components. And I just thought the on-ice product was superb. In 1A, I thought Hermantown getting knocked out by Alexandria really woke some people up. And on credit to Alexandria, they played really well in the title game all the way to the end. So all in all, I thought the 18 version was a really strong tournament.
I was wondering, one thing about the tournament, was there a team that fans could latch on to? Because oftentimes, you know, you like to have that Cinderella team or that team you root for, or by the same token, the team you root against. Was there that in this tournament? Was there a villain? Was there a Cinderella?
Well, you had Edina, Hill Murray, and St. Thomas Academy, so we got villains forever, you know, all kinds of villains. But I think, you know, people kind of enjoyed that Minnetonka hadn't done this before. That's something. People like to see Northern representation. Duluth East provided that. I think those would qualify for those criteria you listed.
One of the things that stood out to me in the AA was that Minnetonka gave Duluth East kind of a little bit of their own medicine. Duluth East and Northern teams in general have a reputation for coming down and being hard-nosed and scrappy and aren't afraid to check and play a hitting game, almost a Canadian-style hockey. Minnetonka didn't back down. They weren't cake eaters by any means.
No, Duluth East was able to employ that game plan very well against Edina. I said, I don't think that will work against Minnetonka because they have guys starting with Luke Lohite that will hit you back. And they did. And that allowed Minnetonka to be successful. I wanted to pivot, you know, we mentioned everything that happened on the ice, which is the focal point, but there's a couple of cool things that happened off the ice. Maddie Rooney, the goaltender for the U.S. women's hockey team, made a surprise appearance on Saturday and was introduced for the crowd before the second period and got a standing ovation, stick taps from the players that were out on the ice waiting for the puck to drop, USA chants. It was a really cool year there. And then I had spotted in the Orono student section, they were wearing red that day. And one of the students had a Dominique Wilkins, Atlanta Hawks basketball jersey.
I saw this exchange.
And I tweeted it out thinking, hey, you know, that's kind of cool. And then hours later, the Dominique Wilkins liked the tweet. I thought, well, isn't that, that's not what you expect going into the hockey tournament.
Noted hockey fan Dominique Wilkins.
Did you?
That's well exactly it.
Did you tag Dominique Wilkins in the tweet, or was he just searching his name on Twitter?
I did not tag him.
That's very unusual.
Searching his tweet.
Well, yeah. Or maybe somebody pointed it out to him.
Well, yeah, and I clicked on it. It's funny because I commented on my own tweet then. I said, oh, and three seats down, there's a guy in a red Chicago Bulls 23 jersey, and Dominique didn't like that one.
Michael Jordan didn't like that tweet?
He didn't, but Dominique didn't like it either.
Okay.
So I thought, I guess there's still some dunk rivalry going on there.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like it was a really good tournament. I mean, they always are. As someone who's not quite as connected to it as I once obviously was, how do you feel like the quality or Jim too? How's the quality of play, you know, either held up, gone down, gone up, as you've watched it progress through the years?
I think it keeps advancing. It certainly hasn't regressed. I mean, Minnetonka. Well, I guess what was it? For Edina Duluth East, each of them had two Mr. Hockey finalists. Minnetonka had one. So you had guys that were you had a strong field with teams, and then a strong individual representation of talent. And I think it was a well played skill. And I talked to a couple of people who have played the game at a high level and maybe played in past tournaments. They continue to be amazed at the skill level going up, the speed going up, and if that's their feeling on it, who am I to say any different?
You know, I have to say that in Class 1A, the talent level is really, really gotten better. You can see the level of play on the ice. I think a lot of that has to do with Hermantown's excellence for so long. Some of the good teams, the private school teams, have moved up to 2A. But you do see teams elevating their game at the smaller school levels, like in Alexandria, like in Monticello, that it's good for hockey at that lower level, which I think Class 1A was a boon to Minnesota hockey. I've said it for many years. There are some that think that the hockey tournament was ruined when it went to two classes. I think it saved hockey in the outstate and the smaller communities by giving them an option and hope to be able to play in the state tournament, and kind of kept hockey alive. So
it seems like seems like it's kind of settled into a good place, right, where you've got enough good 1A teams now where they've raised their game to the level where that tournament doesn't feel like, it probably never was an afterthought, but it doesn't feel like a consolation prize necessarily. It feels like it's a legitimate thing on its own, where these teams are, you know, earning their way in and playing good hockey.
Well, and it should be pointed out that Friday's Class A semifinal, which of course are played in the morning at 11 a.m. and then at 1 p.m., they set an attendance record this year for 11,900 and something people, and the place looked great. So that's another measure by where you can say that, you know, 20 years on, the single A tournament is finding its niche.
Should we shift gears here a little bit to girls basketball? Coming up real fast, right? Is it what starts tomorrow?
Starts Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, starts Wednesday. Jim, you'll probably be leading the point on this to a large degree. What are we thinking heading into this? Obviously, there's, you know, four classes. There's so much to get your hands around. But what are some of the storylines you think we should be following going into this?
Well, you know, in Class 4A, and this is respecting all eight teams that are in the tournament, and there are some very good teams here. It's kind of a Eastview Hopkins vibe I'm getting right now. Those two teams have faced off, I think, 14 times since 2010. They've developed what's, I've called it, the best rivalry in large school girls basketball. They played each other once every year during the regular season, once every year in the state tournament, it seems, and they've really, really have elevated each other's level of play. And I don't think any team is going to. I know Eastview coach Molly Casper said it's not necessarily a rivalry, but there's mutual respect. I think it's become a rivalry, and I think it's good for girls basketball because you have two teams that people want to see face off. And Hopkins kind of wears that role of we talked about a villain as a team that people are always wondering about and have questions about, and they've been very, very good. And Eastview's a team that's undefeated this year, and I think they play a hard-nosed, scrappy team style of basketball. That's good for the game. Now, again, they have to get to the championship game. They're in opposite brackets. Eastview's the one seed, Hopkins the two seed. But I think Eastview-Hopkins matchup in the Class 4A finals would be good for girls basketball all the way around, because it does have that cachet, that feeling of two teams that deserve to be there.
Well, you don't have to dislike each other to be a rivalry. right? I mean, that's probably why coaches shy away from that term. You know, they probably think that there's a connotation that rivalry means you have some kind of bad blood or something. It can be a mutual respect rivalry where it's more of a competitive on the court thing. You want to beat the other team, but you still respect what the other team does.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I think most coaches don't ever want to single out an opponent. They want to make sure their players are thinking about what they have to do. It's that whole one game at a time mentality. You don't want to be thinking that you're looking past anybody. But you know, Eastview's undefeated, and they beat Hopkins during the middle of the season in the St. Olaf tournament. I think prior to that, I think Eastview had Hopkins beaten him 6 games in a row over the past 3 years, including in last year's state semifinals. So if those two teams do match up, it'll be a great championship game. Class 3A, it looks like it's coming down to a couple of private school teams in the Metro, De La Salle and Holy Angels. De La Salle is the 4 seed, Holy Angels the 3 seed. That's not disrespecting Cooper, who got the number 1 seed, but it's Cooper's first time in the state tournament. You never know how a team making its inaugural visit to the state tournament is going to show up, particularly on the first day. If they get through that first day, then they've got a chance to do something. But that first game always seems to be something to try to get through. It's going to be difficult, and they've got Alexandria. And then there's a Northfield, a number two seed that I know nothing about. David, you've been doing 3A storylines. What are your thoughts?
Well, Northfield comes in with a slight advantage in their quarterfinal because their opponent is Mankato West. Mankato West is making its state tournament debut, and Mankato West got beat by Northfield twice in the Big Nine season. And so, Mankato West, I talked to their coach last night, and she said that, you know, we actually, because it's an unfamiliar environment, we do like the idea of a familiar opponent, and we feel that the first day can be kind of quirky, and maybe that works in their favor as well. And so she's, you know, most coaches will say, well, you know, we played so-and-so before, but we're different teams now. But I think that could be the case here. And she's banking on kind of the unusual aspect of the quarterfinal to be in her favor. So we'll see if that plays out.
What about down at 2A and 1A? Anything in particular that you guys can think of at this point that looks enticing or that we should pay attention to?
Well, you know what? Maranatha Christian, a team that was a 1A team and had been in the state tournament, they've had a run, I'm not sure how many years in a row, but they've been to the state tournament often, 1A, moved up to 2A this year, and they qualified again. Well, they've got a post player in Jackie Jarno.
Which validates my Metro area private school theory, but carry on.
Which is that they should all play up one level? Is that your theory?
One class, absolutely.
One level, yeah. Did they play up or did they get enrollment up? I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not sure if it was an enrollment issue or not, but they moved up. They're there. They got the number 2 seed. The number 1 seed is Sauk Center, is undefeated, and they're great. And they've been a girls' basketball power for, I think, at least a decade now. Maranatha, 2 seed. Roseau, the defending state champs. Girls' basketball took hold in hockey country. They're the 3 seed. And Minnehaha Academy with coached by Josh Thoreau, who's also a big-time referee, NFL referee, and I think coaches that are NFL referees at the college level as well.
Hmm.
The athletic director of Minnehaha is the coach there. And then they've got Norwood Young America, a third Metro team. A fringe Metro, but Metro
in the
quarterfinals. So, but I think it's Sauk Center to lose. Sauk Center is the team to beat there.
The 72-county Metro area.
it's as big as we want to make it.
whenever we need a storyline, we make the Metro bigger and bigger.
It's amazing how it gets these little bumps and humps and where the Metro is.
I got to tip the cap quickly before we move on to our Class 2A defending champ, Roseau. I saw a tweet from a guy named Stuart McFarlane. I don't know if he's related to Seth, but it says, the Roseau Rams girls basketball team is leaving for state Wednesday. It's their 4th straight trip. If you would like to see them off with a wave or a horn honk, be on Main Avenue between 9 and 9:15 tomorrow morning as the bus will head down Main on their way out of town. That's
the ceremonial horn honk.
That's great.
I love that stuff.
Do they not play until Thursday? Or they? That's right, because the...
Well, they play at 8 o'clock on Wednesday.
Oh, okay, so they're just making the drive down and let's play. Okay,
they're gonna have bus legs, but hopefully that won't hurt them too badly.
I hope they don't have to go right back if they lose. That'd be
that's
sad.
A long way to go.
That'd be sad. Well, that's great. That sounds like it should be a good tournament. Anything from 1A, or should we talk a little bit about the All Metro?
You know, the All Metro girls basketball team came out yesterday, and I I don't think there was any controversy on the five players that were chosen. Paige Becker is the Hopkins sophomore who is just has a chance to be the best player we've ever produced in the state of Minnesota. Wow. She's got that kind of talent. Was the player of the year, the first time we've ever had a sophomore be our Metro player of the year. But the rest of the team, you had Emma Grothaus at Matamidi, Callie Thiessen at Wayzata, Carmen Backus of Chisago Lakes, and Megan Wallstedt of Eastview. That was a pretty solid top five. But the one thing that stood out, and I've already got a couple of comments back from people on this, is once again, a bunch of girls basketball players, the best in the Metro, and none of them are committed to the University of Minnesota. And people are wondering, what's going on there? Does Marlene Stallings not have a connection? Why is Marlene Stallings not recruiting local kids? I think the last Minnesota kid to sign with the Gophers right out of high school was Carly Wagner, and she's graduated this year, or graduating after the state after the NCAA tournament is over. So it's an interesting issue. I've heard that that her style is different than what she's looking for, is different than the type of kids that are churned out by Minnesota girls AAU type of basketball and what we produce. But that seems pretty broad. I have to believe there's a couple of kids somewhere.
You would think so, yeah.
That would catch her attention. And I know Paige Beckers is the focus of UConn. And when UConn calls, Gino Auriemma calls, that's where you're going to listen. But she's still got a couple of years to go. So it's an interesting situation here and how this is working out, that it's been another year where none of the best players in Minnesota are going to the U. And that's not to say some of these players are not big-time college recruits. We've got girl Backus is going to Wisconsin. Perhaps the best player in the state and a player that's going to be the favorite for Miss Basketball, Sam Habe at Moorhead, is going to Nebraska. Kayla Mershon at Minnetonka is going to Nebraska. So there are some big-time recruits here.
Big Ten caliber players, just not at the hometown Big Ten school.
No, they don't go here. And it's a situation worth looking into.
Yeah, I mean, it's the kind of thing, too, where if Marlene Stallings keeps on an upward trajectory at the U, you know, they made the tournament this year. If she can kind of sustain that with players that aren't necessarily from here, that will get overlooked or that'll get forgiven. But if you start losing here with players that aren't from here and don't really recruit here all that much, people really start paying attention to that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It doesn't resonate as much this year with the fact that the Gophers did make it to the NCAA tournament. I think they had a surprisingly successful season.
Yep.
But if the success starts to wane, people are going to ask questions.
And she, you know, they made it on the strength largely of, you know, Carly Wagner and Kenesha Bell, two Minnesota players.
Yeah, exactly.
How many of the five All-Metro first-team players are in the state tournament?
We've got, I think it's, let's see, Kelly Thiessen's not, Matamidi's not. I think just Paige Beckers and Megan Wallstedt.
Okay.
Hopkins and Eastview, the two teams I was talking about earlier. So they'll get a chance to be there. There's one girl that I want to point out real quick that will be playing in the state tournament. She was probably the last player left off the first team. McKenna Hothschild, the 5'2" or 5'3" girl. I mean, she listed at 5'3". She stands about 5'2". Might be the most exciting player in the state. She is fearless. She's frenetic. She's got range as far out as you want to go. She's not afraid to go inside, and she's a scorer. I saw her score 42, a career high, against Minnetonka in the section finals, against a team that was 6'2 and 6'3, and she just went in and was fearless. She's been great. The problem is Prior Lake gets Eastview in the first round, 10 a.m. Wednesday morning at Target Center, and there's no TV. So it's kind of too bad that a team like Prior Lake may not get the chance to play on TV, and you may not get a chance to see McKenna Hothschild. But if anybody wants a chance to see a really exciting player, go out Target Center, check her out. She's fantastic. The best thing about her, she'll be a senior next year, so got one more year to watch McKenna.
Is she good enough to seriously threaten an undefeated Eastview team?
You know, you never say never, but they played Eastview twice, and Eastview's beaten them by 20 points each time this season. That's the one team that Prior Lake have had a lot of trouble with. I mean, Prior Lake did lose 13 games during the regular season. They're peaking right now, but I don't think that they can beat Eastview, who's just too tall, too disciplined, and just too good for Prior Lake right now. But you never say never. I mean, on Target Center's big court, it's a strange environment. You never know what could happen.
Yeah, especially when you get a dynamic player like that. If someone can take over a game like that, you just never really know. Well, you guys are coming down to the home stretch here. You got, two more tournaments to knock out, and then you're all done for the year? Well, all done for the all done for the winter. Sorry, all done for the winter.
We get all right. Mike's giving us a spring off. I like you better than Claudius. Good.
Exactly. Well, should be tons to watch in the next 4 days, and then obviously the boys tournament, boys basketball tournament coming up the week after that. Gentlemen, good stuff. Jim, you got anything more to add?
No, just that it's the busy time of year. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you filling in for Paul.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Take care, Dave.
Take care.